Yup, we're back. Ooh. I'm just going to tell you right now, they were not happy with me for that last podcast. If you didn't like that last podcast, my apologies. And if you want to know what I'm talking about, then you got to go back and listen to it. But we're back with our regularly scheduled podcast. You might have noticed, rebranded, new cover art. What's going on? Well, I'm not prepared to reveal.
It's classified. Classified information.
That's absolutely correct. We're going to keep it under wraps. Well, we got some other stuff coming out. Some stuff that we're not even going to associate with our main brand. Because it's like, I'm not even going to... My mouth is zipped right now. We got to get
underground
into boxing.
Shit. Underground shit.
Yup. We got to get into boxing. I was just asking Leo, like, what happened to Nelly? And he said, well, he took that country stuff too serious. Made that 50-50 country song. That's why we don't see Nelly. But he did have that feud with Floyd Mayweather.
I thought that was T.I.
Floyd been having beefs with all kinds of people. So, like, let's not even get into that. That's a long list. But you know who should have had a beef with Floyd? Who everyone wanted to see Floyd have some beef with? That's Errol Spence Jr. He returns to the ring this weekend. He will be fighting Lamont Peterson. Now, let's get into this. We don't have a lot of stuff to talk about because boxing has been dormant. So Errol Spence, he's going to kick off the 2018 year with a relevant fight. We could talk about Anthony Modine scoring an upset knockout yesterday, but nobody got time for that. So let's talk about Errol Spence Jr. versus Lamont Peterson. First of all, I think first and foremost, dude, I don't know if you heard the ESPN First Take interview with Errol Spence. He went on there talking about, you know, this is a good test for me. Keith Thurman didn't want to get in the ring. And they're like, they didn't give Lamont Peterson any respect. What do you think?
I didn't hear the interview. I haven't seen it yet. It's been on my to watch list. I try to, kind of like you, I try to keep my video intake before fights to a minimum, just so I don't let myself get swayed beyond my instinct.
Okay, well, I'm gonna make an admission. I do.
You watch this one?
No. That's not. Yes, I did watch it. We're not gonna talk about a video that I didn't watch. Not that we've never done that before, but what I'm gonna say is that I do listen to the First Take podcast almost daily.
Okay. So, all right. So that's not the worst place to get some. It's entertaining. I'll leave it at that. As far as them not giving Lamont Peterson any respect, I think that a lot of that comes from Lamont's history. Particularly, at least for me, I can see somebody not giving him his credit because of what happened against Lucas Matisse, where he got bodied. And I would rate Errol Spence above prime Lucas Matisse versus prime Errol Spence. I'd pick Spence 7 days a week.
Well, it's not even the same weight class. But let's throw that aside because, you know, ESPN doesn't really take that into consideration. They're not taking it. I mean, Stephen A. asked Errol Spence, why aren't you fighting Keith Thurman?
Well, because he's coming off an injury.
Yeah, like a pretty major injury. By the way, I mean I've said it over and over before on the podcast. You don't want to see Thurman in the ring with anybody that's going to be competitive with him, like an Errol Spence, for about a year, just because of the nature of that injury. You don't want him going into a fight with excuses. And second of all, you don't want Keith not being Keith. He's gotten this far, done great ratings on Showtime, on CBS, and he's done that because he's fought in a particular style that people seem to like.
It's those barks, man.
Well, you know, you guys may be asking, like, what is this about? Well, Keith
what
Thurman,
barks?
Look, Keith Thurman, like, you might pour water in his bowl after hearing this. Yeah. I mean, tell me that doesn't sound like a dog barking.
Yeah, that's what Keith Bark Time Thurman. That's one of the variants of his name.
So you're absolutely right, though. A lot of people don't give Lamont Peterson credit because of him getting knocked out by Lucas Matisse. But let's if you go back, like, Matisse wasn't that great at the time. I mean, he was kind of like one of those guys. Thinking of a comparison for him is kind of difficult. Maybe it'll come to me, like a comparison right now. But at the time, Matisse was basically like, yeah, you can outbox him. He's got some pop, but he can be outboxed. I mean, Zab Judah did it. If Zab Judah's outboxing you, like a Lamont Peterson, a guy who's in his prime coming off a win over Amir Khan, for sure you're going to win. But that didn't quite happen.
And John Molina was boxing him pretty well.
That was after the Peterson fight. Actually, let's scale that back a little bit, because that's actually not true. Not only did he box him well, he damn near stopped this guy. I mean, Medice was hurt the first punch John Molina Jr. landed. I was there. I remember being there. I remember, you know, in my heart, I was like, I hope Lucas Medice wins. Like, he deserves to win, coming off of that unfair fight against Danny Garcia. I didn't know any better at the time. None of this had started yet. What happens? His leg goes out from him on the first shot. I mean, why are we talking about Lucas Matisse? He's going to have his time to shine next week. But Lamont Peterson, I mean, a lot of people don't, like, seem to believe, and this is what happens, okay? It happens both ways. When a guy gets knocked out, you seem to get stuck thinking that he's the guy that got knocked out. But the same thing happens when you have a guy like Lucas Matisse, who scores a few knockouts, and you think that's who this guy is. He's a knockout artist. But neither's the case. There's shades of gray with both of these guys, and Lamont Peterson just isn't a guy that got knocked out. I mean, who was Terrence Crawford's most highly sought-after opponent that people wanted to see him fight?
At what weight class?
140.
At 140?
It was Felix Diaz.
Was it Felix Diaz?
That's who everybody wanted to see him fight on the PBC side of things.
Oh, okay, on that side of the aisle. Oh, he just toyed with him.
Exactly. And now, but everyone wanted to see him fight Felix Diaz, but Lamont Peterson went neck and neck with him. And if it wasn't for Lamont Peterson's popularity, I don't think people would have been as outraged about the decision as they were. If you remember, you know, people were pissed off about that decision. So, like, Lamont Peterson, and then Lamont Peterson's a great first opponent for Errol Spence. I mean, let me ask you this. Who did Kell Brook fight when he won his IBF title? He beat Sean Porter. What did he do?
Frankie Gavin, Jojo Diaz, like, four times. You have the quadrilogy with Jojo Diaz.
Okay, well.
No, not Jojo Diaz.
I was like, okay, yeah, well.
He goes by Jojo then. Jojo Dan, sorry.
I was about to say, man.
Hey, it's Jojo with a D. It's a dumbass name anyway. All right, pardon me for not remembering who uses that ridiculous name.
Well, I mean, I was just thinking, like, so Kell Brook got a Canelo thing? He likes beating up little guys?
Oh, maybe he does.
If you don't know about that, you should look that up. I'll tell you what to Google. Canelo breaks jaw. It should come up. We'll leave it at that. This is a great first defense. If you're absolutely right, he beats Sean Porter, and his first defense was against Jojo Dan. And then, what did he do after that? He fought Frankie Gavin. He fought Kevin Bizier. Like, those are your three welterweight title defenses. You barely beat Sean Porter. I know British people were like, you know, he stopped him. He barely beat him. You know, that was a tough competitive fight. It wasn't like he did. Sean Porter won the title more decisively than Kell Brook did. Is that fair?
Yes.
So then he his next three title defenses were just, like, you know, ridiculous. So you have Errol Spence taking on a guy like Lamont Peterson. Peterson's a guy who's proved he can hang at the world level. Prove that he has power. Prove that he can box. I mean, the guy can do it all. Now, he just is missing that, you know, that extra special something, that next gear. I think it's fair to say that Peterson's missing that. And I think that's why most people think that this isn't going to be competitive. But interesting point I'll bring up is that the line has moved. And it's getting closer. Which means that enough money is coming in from people that think Peterson is going to win. And usually when you have the line movement, that's because people are betting big money. Typically, it's not unless there's an abnormal amount of betting. Line movement is generated by big spenders, people who gamble for a living, and not guys who are like, hey, you know, the odds are 10 to 1. Let's throw a tenner on them.
Well, that's what the odds opened up with him at, wasn't it? Like 11 to 1? 9 to 1, 11 to 1. It was in that neighborhood. So, I mean, we were talking with some of the guys in our chat rooms, and that's a pretty good value bet to not just a tenner, not just 20, but to even put like 50 or more on that.
But
It's a good value bet. So I think that's kind of what you're alluding to, is that a big spender might see that 11-1 for Peterson and like, hey, that's not the worst number I've ever seen.
No, I'm saying the opposite. I'm saying that line movement. Now, that may be the case here. Totally. I'm not saying that I don't know what the reason for the line movement is. But typically, line movement occurs when the Vegas sharps come in and they put down their, you know, these guys who bet $10,000-$20,000 on, you know, each time out, they drop this big money on a guy, and that shifts the line, because most people, when they see the good value, they just, you know, they spend their pocket change. That doesn't move the line whatsoever. But it's when those big guys come in, drop, you know, $50,000 on an underdog, that's when you start to see the line move, unless there's a huge amount of betting, as in the case of Mayweather-McGregor. Now, if you're one of those people that bet on Lamont Peterson, let's make the case for them. Why does Lamont Peterson win this fight?
If you look at, we posted a clip not too long ago of Danny Garcia versus Lamont Peterson, and there was a lot of good movement from Lamont Peterson, and he's able to maintain that pretty decently down the stretch. So he's not going to gas out and get cornered the way a lot of guys can and do get caught by Errol Spence. So he can move, and he can continue to move for, he can take it the distance.
And so you may be wondering, like, so what? He can move. Does that mean he's going to run from him for 12 rounds? Well, I think as you bring that up, because I hadn't thought about this prior. I just thought, oh, well, Peterson's good. He could make it a fight. But like now thinking about it, well, what does movement do? Movement will affect Spence's ability to plant his feet. And what we've seen from Spence is he does sit down on a lot of his punches. And most of the real damage he did against Brooke was when Brooke was on the ropes, when Brooke stood flat-footed with him. When Brooke was flat-footed, that allowed Spence to get flat-footed, and Spence, you know, broke his face. So if Peterson can keep Spence from really setting his feet, that would provide something that we've not seen thus far. Well, actually, in the early stages of that fight, Brooke moved fairly well, punching with Spence as well. And it was fairly close. However you scored it, that's
Kell
up to you.
Kell Brook had a lot of good success in the early rounds. And that was when he was more mobile. And he was, like, why would you ever try to plant your feet and stand toe-to-toe with Errol Spence? That's just really inadvisable. And I don't think Lamont Peterson's going to get pulled into a trap like that.
What I'll say about that, too, is that, so Tom uploaded some clips. I don't rewatch fights typically, but he uploaded clips so I can upload them to Instagram. And I was looking at these video clips, and like deep in the fight, 9-10, Spence is just pounding on Kell Brook. But even when he was doing that, Kell Brook was still landing. Now that could be two different things, okay? It could be the fact that Kell is giving up having his punches mean anything and just throwing with speed, which is probably most likely what he was doing, or Brooke was just able to find openings that maybe a lesser fighter won't be able to. And I'm guessing, like, let's ask this question. Who fights at a higher level, Lamont Peterson or Kell Brook?
I would say that Lamont Peterson has the resume to prove that he can fight at a higher level than Kell Brook, but Kell Brook demonstrated that he can. He can hang at the top level. He just didn't do it as often as Lamont Peterson has.
That's the wrong answer right there.
Is it?
Yep, that's the wrong answer. Not because I disagree with you. Like, say what you want. That's fine with me. I'm only saying that's the wrong answer because we got British people that listen to this podcast. Like, don't.
Oh, so I should have said Kell Brook is at the higher level than Lamont Peterson.
I mean, really, man?
Put some respect on my name.
Yeah, that's not to disparage Kell Brook and say that he's not a talented fighter by any stretch of the imagination. It's just Lamont Peterson has the resume versus – he has the A-list opponents on his resume while Kell Brook has, what, two?
Yeah, well, this is tough, okay? Because what you're doing is you're saying that Errol Spence doesn't have A-list opponents, correct?
He's got the one.
And who's the one? Sean Porter, right? Or are we going to give him Golovkin since he was technically winning the fight.
You said Errol Spence. We're talking about Kell Brook?
Oh, yeah. Oh, well, maybe I mixed it up. But what you're saying is that Errol Spence has one A-lister on his resume, and it's the guy who he's about to fight. Or he had just previously fought.
You also, of course, have to consider like the visuals, not just the resume.
We'll get there. But Kell Brook. How many real guys has he fought?
I would say, well, if you include Golovkin, 3, but I'm not including Golovkin.
Who are the other two?
Sean Porter and Errol Spence.
Oh, okay. No, that does, Spence doesn't count.
So then Sean Porter.
So it's one. So, but what I'm saying is, like, you can't legitimize Spence's resume using Kell Brook. I don't think you can do it too much because you're legitimizing a guy that Spence just absolutely destroyed. Like, in a comparison between Spence and Brook and all this stuff. Now, all a moot point because all that matters now is what's going to happen on Saturday. Errol Spence, I think it's predictable that Spence is going to win a decision here. Lamont Peterson, look, he is tough. Like, if you don't know his backstory, this guy was homeless. He raised himself and his brother. This guy can fight. He knows what it's like to really dig down and fight for what he needs to. And, like, obviously that's just a story that HBO tells us so that we can care about the fight. But, I mean, the apart from Matisse, no one stopped Peterson.
Nope. His other losses are to Tim Bradley and Danny Garcia.
That Bradley fight is a weird one, by the way. Like, that's... There are certain fights where guys, like, their styles just don't, like, I don't know. That's just a weird fight because, in theory, you would think that Peterson would have the advantage over Bradley. I mean, he's a bigger fighter, similar athletic, rugged style, but he's got a good jab. But that's just a fight where Bradley just mauled him. And that was also at the time when Bradley was running through 140. Amir Khan was dipping and dodging out of the way. I'm just kidding. We all know
put
that
some
Bradley
respect
avoided.
On that name.
Okay, I'm not quick enough with the soundboard yet, so
we'll get it.
So anyway, also, if you were thinking of like, hey, we got a couple of days, maybe I should go back and watch some of Lamont Peterson's fights, let me make a suggestion to you. He fights Victor Ortiz in 2010. He fights him to a draw. Skip that fight. It is dreadful. Absolutely dreadful fight. Just completely boring. You could argue that Peterson should have losses to Felix Diaz and Amir Khan. Fair?
Yeah, that's fair.
So, just saying, you know, just saying. So, moving on. Actually, let me ask this question. If Errol Spence were to lose this fight, what would that do for the PBC welterweight landscape?
What a shakeup. Wow, what a shakeup. If Lamont Peterson beats Errol Spence, I'm struggling to think of words, but that's a major shakeup to the welterweight landscape at large. Another major player has entered the arena.
Well, I don't know that you could say that because Lamont Peterson's, I mean, to use Floyd's line, you know, 39 have tried and 4 have had actually succeeded against Lamont Peterson. 3 really succeeded and 1 kind of succeeded. So like there's a blueprint out there of how to beat Peterson, and it's not like, you know, this isn't like I can't think of any other welterweight prospects out there right now that would be beating a big name. But I think it would throw a wrench into everything. I think based off of Steven Espinoza's interview he did this week with the Sporting News, it's very clear that Showtime is really trying to build towards that Spence Thurman mega fight. Now, I say mega, let's be honest. There are no mega fights on the horizon in boxing outside
of
Canelo
Golovkin. The word super fight's been getting overplayed too much. That's why we have to try to use mega fight now.
Yeah.
It's a bit absurd. Let's take it back. We're taking back super fight. That like Jared Hurd is saying that Lara Hurd is a super fight.
No,
or it's not. It isn't.
No,
I mean Jared Hurd is great. Love him. He seems like a good guy. It's not a super fight. It really isn't.
No,
Thurman Spence is a super fight.
So what are the parameters? We're going to get off topic now, but what are the parameters for a super fight? Do you know what one of the parameters is? You're not going to like this.
Sport?
Nope. You're not going to like this. Listener, you are not going to like this. You know how to make a super fight? It's got to marinate. I'm sorry, but think of the real super fights in boxing history. Hagler versus Leonard. Mayweather versus Pacquiao. Mayweather versus De La Hoya. Mayweather versus Pacquiao. They either marinated for a while or they required some enormous circumstances to be worked out in order to make the fight happen. Even Mayweather-McGregor, circumstances had to be worked out. And when I say circumstances, there's this whole thing called Conor McGregor doesn't box.
Canelo Golovkin is a recent example.
For marination.
Let that one roll on for a year, 18 months to 2 years.
I'm not even happy to call that one a super fight. I think that's just a great fight. Like, how is that fight not better than Kovalev Ward? Kovalev Ward marinated a little longer, actually, I think.
That was a super fight as well. It didn't do the numbers that it should have.
Well, I'm going to say that that's not a super fight.
Why? Because it didn't succeed.
I'm going to say, well, numbers are an indicator of when you have a super fight, but previously it just doesn't meet the parameters. Like it wasn't marinated like sufficiently. The boxing, like, it did not break into the casual conversation. Nobody came up to me and asked me, hey, do you think Kovalev has a shot against, or that Andre Ward has a shot against Kovalev? That didn't happen, but I certainly had people asking me, is Manny Pacquiao going to beat Floyd Mayweather? So here's another super fight. Canelo versus Mayweather. I certainly had people asking me, is Canelo going to beat Mayweather? And the answer was...
I had people asking me that one too.
So if you're casual
I laughed.
Friend,
I didn't mean to, but I laughed.
I mean, I never do that. I always like to string them along. Like, well, you know, you're right. Canelo does... Like, he is bigger. He is younger. Yes, you know, you got to treat them like a child. And then you got to hit him with the hard news, or the bad news is that Canelo's about to get schooled, which he did. So
what are you talking about? It was a draw on one card. Come on.
Yeah.
You got anything on the soundboard for that?
I do.
Boxing is full of shit, man.
How about that?
Perfect. It was perfect.
How about that? So, you know, it's not a super fight. Spence and Thurman. Though let's see. Now, let's also say this. You got to have fought on pay-per-view before. And not on no undercard. You have to headline a pay-per-view and do a significant number to have a super fight. You know who's a super fight? You know who's a super fight? You're not going to be happy. Canelo versus Chavez Jr. I'm going to take it back. I'm going to take it back. That wasn't a super fight. It barely did a million buys. Okay? But still, like, that's the level we're talking about right now. You got to be, like, to be a super fight, you got to crack a million buys. Because if we extend it to just great matchups with a lot at stake, Crawford and Dongo's a super fight. Are you kidding me? The next fight that has potential to be a super fight is Wilder versus Joshua. You thought I was about to say Joseph Parker, weren't you?
No. Absolutely not. You said Wilder first, so I knew it had to be AJ. If you had dropped Ortiz, I was going to have to hang up.
Actually, I paused because I pressed the thing on the soundboard, but it didn't work. Anyway, back to this. So obviously the goal is Spence Thurman. If you listen to the ESPN interview, they kept trying to get Spence to mention Terrence Crawford. I wonder why. He didn't do it. He was just like, Keith Thurman's the man. And you know what? Here's the thing. I'm with you guys, okay? Terrence Crawford is the most talented guy at 147. Would you disagree with that?
Yes and no. I would agree that yes, he is immensely talented, but is he the most talented? I mean, if you consider his previous accomplishments, you can make the argument. But if we're only discussing what has taken place at 147, then he hasn't done anything.
Brilliant. That's the point that Spence made. He said he's a great 140-pound fighter, but we haven't seen what he's done at 147. And I like that. You can't just, well, I mean.
He gets a spot at the table, but that doesn't mean he's at the head of the table automatically.
Yeah, and both Spence and Crawford have both acknowledged that the man at 147 is Keith Thurman. He's got two belts. He didn't buy them. He beat Danny Garcia and Sean Porter. And if I'm not mistaken, those were legitimate guys. Oh, actually, sorry. He didn't beat Sean Porter for the title. He beat...
he beat...
Diego Chavez. It was a vacant regular belt that got upgraded all the way.
Yeah, he got elevated. Gross.
Something like that. But and the point stands. You know, he's...
Diego Chavez was interim. Robert Guerrero was...
That's when it became regular. Official.
That was the regular.
No, absolutely. Danny Garcia. No way was Guerrero a champion at the time. If that's the case, like we're just going to stop recording.
No. That was when it got elevated to regular.
Okay, no.
And Danny Garcia was when it got elevated to super.
Yeah. Okay, cool. I thought you were saying that Guerrero had a title. I was like, Jesus Christ. Robert Guerrero. I mean, I was going to put some of his sound clips on the thing, but...
Maybe Ruben's sound clips.
No. I mean, maybe I'll think about it. But anyway, so Errol Spence likely to win, likely to have a fight set up with Keith Thurman, and I'm of the opinion that let it marinate. These they're both in their prime. It's not like they're leaving their prime. Thurman is, I don't think he's 30 yet. If he is, he's just turned 30. Spence
his
is
elbows
about 28,
are 35.
And that elbow is the thing. If they're gonna fight, I don't want no excuses. I don't want no shoulder injuries, Manny Pacquiao. I want you to go in there, have these guys be at their prime, and go at it. So let's move on to the undercard. We have Robert Easter Jr. fighting Javier Fortuna. Easter had what I thought was a good year last year. He had a really good year in one way, okay? In that he got some good wins over some quality opponents. Now, does that necessarily mean that, I guess... We should say that he was the fighter of the year at lightweight. We didn't go with that. Why not?
No, we didn't. We went with Linares. I think we went... The rationale with Linares was that he did more with less. Like, he had cupcake wins, but he was still able to elevate his status in the community or in the eyes of the community by doing less.
Right, and in Easter Jr.'s case...
It's kind of like a backhand compliment in a way.
Yeah. I mean, he nearly gave away a fight with Luke freaking Campbell. But Easter Jr., last year, he had two good wins. Like, if you really look at it in a stripping away actually watching the fight, and you take a look, you'd be like, wow, he decisioned Denis Shafikov, who was on a little bit of a tear after suffering a loss. Like, he'd really rebuilt, like, really well, just changed his style and everything. That's a good win. 120, 108, 120, 108, 116, 112. Man, Easter Jr. schooled him. And then you look at the Luis Cruz fight, and it's like, wow, basically shuts this guy out almost, 119, 106, and drops him three times? That should be a great year. But the reality is, if you watch the Shafikov fight, those scores... While you may think that Easter Jr. won that fight, and I think he did win that fight, the scores really put a black mark on his year. Because, and this is something that boxing fans do, I think you'll agree, is that when a fighter gets a win, that people think, okay, well, maybe they won that fight, but the scores don't reflect what actually happened. Somehow the fighter becomes the judge. And all the anger about that one bad card, say in the example of 118-110, then you have people mad at the fighter. And the fighter's like, I thought I won the fight. Naturally, everybody thinks they win. Adrian Granado, shout out to you. So I don't know what to think here because, like, in my opinion, Easter Jr. had a very good year. But it's not like that's the reception he's getting.
It's unfortunate. But yeah, that's the reality of it. 118, 110 is case in point if you need a brighter example.
I mean, Jesus, that one just basically, that was gasoline on the fire. That, first of all, Canelo had done enough to probably get a razor-thin decision.
7-5, like, tops.
Yeah, you know, like, if well, actually, I was about to say something, but let's not give people too much credit. I was going to say... that if Canelo had gotten 7-5 on all three scorecards, or maybe 2 7-5s and a draw, fans would still be pissed off.
Yeah, definitely. Oh, come on. Yeah, and, of course.
And the evidence is like, oh wait, but Andre Ward put on, you know, a great performance in the first fight, really fought through adversity, got 114-113, which is basically 7-5, and he is vilified in the boxing community. So that's not necessarily the case.
But he was vilified against one of the heroes, like Kovalev, Golovkin. Those are the heroes right now.
Oh, so Kovalev's a hero. Okay, well.
Hey, he might be an anti-hero, but he's still one of those guys that's held up in high regard.
Okay, well, never mind. I'm not even going to touch that.
Let's go on. Let's move on.
So anyway, Robert Easter Jr. is going to fight. He's going to defend his title. It'll be his like second or third defense of his IBF title. He will fight Javier Fortuna. Now, if you've never seen Javier Fortuna fight before, or you don't know who he is, let me tell you. Excuse me. The guy who discovered Javier Fortuna and brought him to America and brought him onto our TVs is Sam Lukovic, who's one of the guys that discovered Manny Pacquiao. Lukovic brought Pacquiao to Freddie Roach. He also discovered Sergio Martinez. So the guy's got a decent eye for talent. And when he brings over Javier Fortuna, this guy is just a beast, a 130-pound beast, knocking out guys left and right, capable of fighting at 126 or 130, just knocking guys out left and right on Friday night fights. I mean, I posted a few weeks ago this clip. I mean, this guy is out the moment the punch lands. Like, he had a real off switch with that punch. And then he started to, you know, he got matched better. He fought on the Pacquiao Marquez 4 undercard, I believe it was. And just put on that was actually a horrible pay-per-view, because it had the Gamboa Farinas fight, which was miserable, and then it had the Fortuna Highland fight, which was also pretty bad. Fortuna wins it, but kind of the bubble got popped there. He stopped knocking guys out. And now the reason why many people think that Fortuna just basically took a nosedive is he started hanging out with Sergio Martinez, and then he abandoned the style that he had used to get famous, basically, and starts fighting hands down Sergio Martinez style. And I don't know if you've seen pictures of him from a fight, but he's got this grotesque picture from a fight. I believe it was with, can't remember, Brian Vasquez maybe, where his face is just like blown up. Oh no, it was Juan Antonio Rodriguez. His face was just like destroyed, with swelling, like that Andre Berto picture people send around. Okay, maybe people don't, but we do. And so, you know, that was Fortuna. He's basically been going downhill. So he's one of those guys that he's still only been beaten once, and that was to Jason Sosa in China. I don't know why they fought in China. But he's a good fighter, no doubt. And he's got power. Like, Easter Jr. could walk into something, presumably. But also, Easter Jr.'s got power, so this is a good fight where you have two guys that I think are flawed enough that this is going to be really entertaining, especially given the power that both of them have. You want to add anything?
No, nothing to add. You summed it up better. I'm not as familiar with Fortuna as you are.
I'll never forget Javier Fortuna, because I think it was in 2013... he was fighting on Friday Night Fights, and out of nowhere, during the main event, the lights went out, and we're just watching black screen. And the lights went out in the casino, and it just kind of, like, the fight got delayed and everything. It was just really weird. Really weird night that night. And then it ended up being a draw. Probably because the judges forgot what fight they were scoring or something. But anyway, let's move on. We'll just mention that Marcus Brown, who is everyone presumed was going to fight Adonis Stevenson, or at least somebody, is going to fight Francis Ngannou, who's one of my favorite fighters.
Stevenson?
Because he's highly rated at 175, and Stevenson is definitely likes to fight guys who have not proven anything or done anything
in
lately.
The top 10 to 15 range.
Well, I would say that Brown is in the top 10 for sure. He's coming off of that big win over Sean Monaghan. But I don't know why he's not getting a fight. I guess he's taking some step-aside fight to let Stevenson lose to Jack.
Good. I hope Stevenson loses to Jack. Absolutely.
No, that's just unfair. I don't know why you don't think Adonis Stevenson is pound for pound number one.
I was refraining from making the joke.
Okay.
That he's pound for pound number one, but Badu Jack will be when he's finished with Stevenson.
I don't think that's true, but okay. And then let's move on. So some big news this morning that's surprisingly not getting discussed a lot on the sub. People are talking about other stuff that is just like irrelevant. I don't know why. The Mikey Garcia versus Sergey Lipinets fight got called off this morning.
Yeah, I was bummed to hear about that.
Yeah, so reportedly, Sergey Lipinets, he has a hand injury. I suspect that he started watching some tape on Mikey Garcia. That's what my personal opinion. But either way, the fight is off. I mean, this thing has 18 comments on the sub. 18 comments.
Yeah, I would have thought that would have been bigger news than some random clip from the set from some 70s fighter.
I mean, what are they going to do now? So they say that they're going to postpone the fight. But I got an alternative idea here, and it's going to push into what we're about to talk about next. But there's a guy named Manny Pacquiao.
Pacquiao is the greatest fighter who ever lived.
Manny Pacquiao is looking to get back in the ring. And Top Rank is floating out this idea that Manny Pacquiao is going to fight Vasily Lomachenko. On, this is the funnier part, on the Crawford Horn fight. As the
on the same card? Like, as an undercard?
I don't know. Like,
you're going to have two headline-worthy fighters fight each other on an undercard?
Yeah, that's the nonsense Top Rank is talking right now. And then Lomachenko's team's like, we're not interested in that fight. Like, why would we want to beat this old guy up? It does nothing. Like,
there's
glory
to be had in that.
So think about this. So Lomachenko moves up to 143, 44, whatever catch weight that they would make this at. Presumably. If I'm Pacquiao, we're fighting at 147. I don't care. Okay? So they move up there. Maybe Lomachenko's like, I win the fight, but like I'm not myself. I'm going to go back down to 130. Maybe just go back down to 135. Like, he's got to lose that weight. We've seen what happens when guys go down in weight after being up in weight. It doesn't work out so well. There's a reason why I think Mikey Garcia is not going to 135. He doesn't want to lose the weight again. And then Lomachenko loses his next fight at 135 when he fights a real guy. And then we have Manny Pacquiao coming back from the dead and beating Lomachenko.
I don't know how or why Bob Arum still has this, like, he has this idea that he can still transfer Pacquiao's star power to someone else. I think a lot of that bubble was popped with Jeff Horn. He might have stung it, you could say. But that he doesn't have that option so much anymore. The transference of star power, that ship has sailed, Bob Arum.
It's not happening.
I don't know. It's not going to happen anymore. We floated the idea of Terrence Crawford, and we didn't make it. And then we put him in with Jeff Horn, and he got beat. So, okay, well then let's bring up Lomachenko and have them meet at a catchweight so that we can do what exactly? What star power are you giving away now?
One more time, and he was still Manny Pacquiao.
Jim. That ain't happening no more. He ain't Manny Pacquiao no more. That's the thing. In the ring, out the ring, people do not care that much about Manny Pacquiao. Now, I care about Manny Pacquiao, okay? Like, you know, people want to paint me as some hater of Manny Pacquiao. That's not the case. Like, I'll
play the bad guy. I don't give a shit about Manny Pacquiao anymore.
Listen, when I look at Manny Pacquiao, this is how I feel.
One more time, and he was still Manny Pacquiao.
Like, I look back and I just think of the guy that ripped through the divisions and, you know, just murdered all of the Mexican legends, except for Juan Manuel Marquez, but we'll get to that later.
Fun fact, his fight with Ricky Hatton was for the IBO title.
That is not relevant news to interrupt me with.
Just a joke.
But look, I look back fondly on Manny Pacquiao, and I loved his run, okay? Love his fights. Marquez Pacquiao 4 might be my favorite fight of all time. And not because of the result, but because that, when it comes to fighting, that's not the sweet science, not much of the sweet science, but when it comes to fighting, that's the highest skill I think you can see. And say what you will about Hagler versus Hearns, I'll say this. Quality's not good on that fight as far as the video quality, and it's too short. So while some may feel like that's the greatest fight of the highest skill, no, sir, I'm going to not co-sign on that one. And Gotti Ward features guys who aren't as skilled as Mayweather. Gotti proved that. But as Pacquiao and Marquez. So that's just me. Also, I was like too young to, well, not too young, but like younger during Gotti Ward. So anyway, when I think about that, like I'm really done seeing Manny Pacquiao fight. Like I really am. I know he's going to go out on a loss to Jeff Horn. I'm going to forgive him for that. I really
might be
will.
Fighting Mike Alvarado, which again is pointless. It's a complete waste of time. No one cares about that. There's nothing that anyone stands to gain from it.
It is a waste of time, but it's a winnable fight, and it's a couple years in the making, because remember when Pacquiao fought Rios, he was supposed to fight Mike Alvarado. So I might, if now that you mentioned that, like I might consider that fight. Like I might.
Yeah, it's just like Devin Alexander and Victor Ortiz should have fought, what, 6 years ago?
Okay, but how about this? Pacquiao can fight Mike Alvarado. He's going to beat him. And Devin Alexander and Victor Ortiz, I don't know who's going to win that fight, but they can fight. And the winners get to fight each other for the IBO title.
This is your shot welterweight bracket?
Yeah.
Manny Pacquiao's been added in?
He's been added in. Let's just say that.
You're going to get some hate mail from someone in particular for that.
Look, he could say what he says. What Leo's mentioning is there's this guy who is on the subreddit.
He freaking stalks you, man. He stalks you, and he finds you wherever you are, and he just berates you, just nonstop verbal assault for not deifying Manny Pacquiao. Even though we do, we just it's facts are facts. Floyd Mayweather beat him, so Mayweather's better than Pacquiao. That's a fact. That's all there is to it. There's nothing more you can say about it. But
shit is fucked up in the boxing world.
Just like you said it, Floyd.
So
this guy just cannot comprehend how you would ever think that anyone is better than Manny Pacquiao. It cannot. It does not compute.
No.
That's
well,
it.
Okay. Well, once I got him in, so this guy, he like messages me on the subreddit and like just goes at me, like calling me a racist because I will put down Manny Pacquiao, and then talks about how like I love a particular color of people and their private parts and all of this stuff. Okay, he said like literally it's also like one sentence, by the way, with capital words and all capital words and all that stuff. Okay, so
high quality person. This is a high quality individual.
He's also challenged me to a fight for real, like in real life, multiple times. But one time I engaged him on that, and I said, "Show up at this place." And I don't know if he did, but I hope he did because I don't live in his state. So anyway, I hope he was waiting at the park one day for like 3 hours for me. But anyway,
what is this, middle school? I'll meet you at the park, bro, and we're gonna fight for real. We'll see you after school.
He was super excited when I accepted the challenge and gave him a real location by where he lives. But
what are
anyway,
you 12? God.
So anyway,
moving on. Why is this clown getting this much attention?
Well, look, he there's a distinction that he collapses. And when I actually talked to him one time, and I get it. He's upset that people say Floyd Mayweather is the best fighter of this generation. Now that, like, if you really think about that, it's true, right? Like he proved it. He beat Manny Pacquiao. What else was there for him to do? He beat Conor McGregor. He beat the best in two sports, okay? But really, that's not necessarily what he actually in his head means. So when I broke it down for him, there's a distinction. He acknowledges Floyd is better than Manny as a boxer. So this is a semantics thing. Now, is Floyd the best boxer of this generation? He agrees with that. Is Floyd the best fighter? No, it's Manny Pacquiao. And I get it. As a fighter, is a guy who goes in the ring and tears up. Like, they throw down. Okay, fine. I'll give you that. Floyd, that's not what he does.
So, and then the fighter got beat by the boxer. So,
I feel for the guy. I feel for the guy.
You know who I feel for is the guy who thinks Adonis Stevenson is pound for pound number one.
Oh, that's some more inside baseball right there. But I didn't want to talk about Adonis Stevenson. Like, when he signs a fight, we could talk about Adonis Stevenson.
Yeah.
But until then, like, I'm just going to laugh at his Twitter posts. So anyway, back to my original theory was that Manny Pacquiao, Lomachenko doesn't want to fight you. But you know what? Mikey Garcia has been, he was training for a fight in February. But I'm sure if you told him, well, in April, we can put something on. ABC, Channel 7, Saturday night. Oh, wait, actually, we'll have to wait till the NBA playoffs start. Because Saturday nights has got games on ABC. But we can wait till playoff season. ABC, Mikey Garcia versus Manny Pacquiao. Now, I mean, we're cooking, aren't we?
Yeah. I like that a lot better than Lomachenko.
Now, here's the thing I don't like. He goes from beating up on Broner and then beating up on Pacquiao. Like, we should put Mikey Garcia in jail if he does this.
I really would have liked to have seen him fight Linares. That would have been ideal for me.
Golden Boy came with that stupid offer.
Yeah. Yeah, like, they didn't treat him right at the negotiating table. Regardless, I could get behind Garcia versus Pacquiao more than I can Lomachenko, but regardless, I'm really just done with Pacquiao. The Mayweather-Pacquiao generation is done, and these guys need to leave the public eye. I mean, Mayweather's not going to leave because he's still promoting guys that are, you know, still at the top tiers of the sport, but Manny Pacquiao, like, you have a day job, go do that. We don't need more of you in the ring.
That is true. He does have a day job. It's not like, you know, it's not like Adonis Stevenson has.
It's not this do nothing job either. It's not like it's this small, like he just runs some, like he's a newspaper boy or something. He's a senator in the Philippines. Go do your job.
True. True. Let's move on. Oscar Valdez will be fighting Scott Quigg.
Who the fuck is that guy?
Oh, you got no chill, man.
So he's going to fight Scott Quigg at the StubHub Center. Now, prior to this fight getting signed, it's like, yeah, Oscar Valdez. Well, actually, let's say this. This is full discretion. Is that what I'm supposed to say? What I'm supposed to like?
Full disclosure.
Disclosure. I really like Oscar Valdez. Like,
you do.
That's a guy who is a good fighter, not a great boxer anymore. So anyway, I like Oscar Valdez. He's one of my guys. Actually, I took him out of my Fave Five, but he's close. Oscar Valdez is going to fight at Scott Quigg. Now, realistically, this seems like my mic dropped. what a stupid phrase. But realistically, doesn't it sound like, oh yeah, Scott Quigg's going to outbox him? Like, or sorry, Oscar Valdez is going to outbox Scott Quigg. Scott Quigg got schooled by Carl Frampton and has been hurt in his last few fights.
Yeah, that's what my immediate thought is that Valdez is going to take it pretty easy. But when I sat and thought about it more, probably not.
Right, so now, unfortunately, I'm going to break this down and I'm going to explain why, as a fan of Oscar Valdez, I am not optimistic. Okay, so let's start with one, the location, the StubHub Center. Oscar Valdez, the last two times he fought in the StubHub Center were two beatable opponents that he was given. He was given Miguel Mariaga. This is prior to the Lomachenko fight, by the way, and Ruben Tamayo, a guy 26-5-4 that you are supposed to beat. Ruben Tamayo is a guy that shows up, and unless you're some domestic Mexican, let's just put it this way, okay? He's lost 7 fights in a row, and he fought in October. 7 straight fights he's lost, okay? This guy, when Ruben Tamayo shows up, that's a W in your resume, on your box rack. They just put W. So, but Valdez decided that he wanted to go to war with this guy. He won basically every round, but he also got the knockdown, which was not a real knockdown. But Valdez did not look good. And then he goes and fights at the StubHub Center again against Miguel Moriaga, and he doesn't look that great in that fight either. He looks extremely beatable. And we know from history that the StubHub Center brings it out of people to go to war. Something about that place, people
it's
go to
magic,
war.
It's magic, man. It's magic.
I mean, if you've ever seen a fight there, you know what the magic is. Like, it's it's special.
Poor Roman.
No Roman Gonzalez jokes on this episode. So, Miguel Moriaga, and he didn't win the fight. It wasn't that close, but it also wasn't that wide. Not as wide as Julie Letterman's scorecard had it. So, Valdez is going to fight at the StubHub Center again against Scott Quigg. Now, strike two against Valdez is that he was down in his last fight, and seemingly his defense seems to be getting worse. The last time we've seen Valdez be extremely dominant was in 2016.
Yeah, he did not look good against Genesis Cervania.
And Cervania is a small guy. This is a guy that was moving up from 122
pounds.
Yeah, he
came up from 22.
A guy that got beat in an exhibition, but still, it seemed like they were going about 70%. He got beat by Anaya in a way. A guy who was fighting, I believe at the time, he wasn't even fighting at 115. He was still fighting at 108. I think he was in the process of going up. So you have a guy who fights at 122 pounds, do an exhibition with a guy a few divisions below him, and gets schooled. And then he goes up in weight and then basically proves to everyone that Valdez is beatable. So the combination of the StubHub Center and then Valdez just seemingly descending further and further into this hole of not being able to defend himself and not being able to have any sort of creativity with his offense. I mean, this is the thing. When Valdez was coming up, he was a very creative offensive fighter that mixed like power shots up with jabs and, you know, the normal boxing punches, the straight ones. We're not seeing that anymore. We're seeing a guy who's headhunting. And, you know, Felix Verdejo, you remember him, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's not that good, is he?
No, not quite. I think he made our bottom. I think it was worst outlook or worst year.
He should be back soon. I think he might be back on this card, actually. I can't remember if he was. No, it's not on this card. I think it's the Beltran card. He's going to be back. Back in early February.
He's 317 against Antonio Losada Jr.
Oh, yeah, the formidable Antonio.
This is on Amir Imam's card.
Oh, yeah. So who is he fighting?
Jose Carlos Ramirez versus Amir Imam.
Who the fuck is that guy?
No, I was talking
you
about...
You set that one up. Or are you talking about Amir Imam?
No, I was talking about who's Verdejo fighting.
Oh, yeah. Who is that guy?
Yeah, I don't know who he is. So anyway... I have a friend, a buddy in the chat, Josh. We both are not fans of Scott Quigg. We're on Team Frampton, and we're also on Team Valdez. And it was just like horrible news to hear that this fight was signed, because if there's like one guy that's going to come in and possibly upset Valdez, it's going to be Quigg. Like, I mean, upset, because obviously Valdez can go fight Santa Cruz. Like, who do you favor in that fight?
Santa Cruz.
Yeah, he can go fight Gary Russell. Gary Russell might knock out Oscar Valdez. So
yikes.
That's that fight. And then the last piece of news that we want to get to, I mean, it's not that big of a news article. Amir Khan has signed with Matchroom. Now, we're not going to get into the details of, like, the beef and Amir Khan getting or talking trash about Eddie Hearn, and Eddie Hearn talking trash about Amir Khan, and blah, blah, blah. Look, it's very simple why Khan would do this. Like, he was advised by Al Heyman to sign with Eddie Hearn. Now, what could he possibly gain from this? A fight with Kell Brook. And that's what British fans want, a fight with Kell Brook. I mean, this one isn't rocket science. Get the fight with Kell Brook or with Manny Pacquiao. Now, which would you rather see?
I'd rather see Kell Brook, I think.
Really? Why?
Because I want Pacquiao to go away. I want Floyd Mayweather and Manny Pacquiao to go away. I want that generation done, gone, buried. Everyone says their last goodbyes. I want those guys gone. I want them out of the sport, out of the ring. I want the next generation to start doing their thing.
Hey, listen, you're not a promoter.
Yeah, there you go. I don't give a shit. That's still what I think.
I want to see the Pacquiao fight. Now, but I'm torn, though, because we need to just get the Brook fight over with. These guys have talked trash. They've just been at each other for a long time, and it'd be nice to just let's see them fight. And for also, I always want to look at the angle of, like, is this beneficial to both guys? And the answer is yes, because at this point, which fight makes more money?
Eddie Hearn can do some magic, and he'll make that a big domestic showdown. A lot of stadium fight, a lot of fans, a lot of tickets sold to StubHub and then resold to the population. It's going to make a lot of money.
Exactly. I think it's a bigger fight at this point. Manny Pacquiao, unless he went to the UK and...
Yeah, that would be his only option, would be to go to UK, which could be part of his little farewell world tour.
Is there any... Do you think there is any chance that Amir Khan can get a fight with both Manny Pacquiao and Kell Brook?
It's going to take some Eddie Hearn magic.
I mean, he would have... So, which fight do you think is more winnable for Khan?
Ooh. Which one is more winnable? I'm going to say Manny Pacquiao. I think Kell Brook he's moved up and he's probably settling into 54 pretty comfortably. And Pacquiao has been on the smaller side for welterweight. So he might be able to use his size a little bit and bully Manny Pacquiao more. That's what makes him uncomfortable, is being size bullied.
This is a tough one. Like,
yeah, it's a tough one. So I went for something. I had to make a pick.
I mean, so my heart is saying Manny Pacquiao is a tougher fight because offensively, I think he still is a very good offensive fighter.
Can he chin check Amir Khan? I mean,
I could chin check Amir Khan.
Yeah, I was trying to figure out how to work a joke into it, but I guess it's easy to check broken glass.
Yeah, I mean, I could. Well, actually, let me take that back. I think both guys can probably hurt Amir Khan. And let's not forget, we don't know what version of Amir Khan we're getting. We may be getting a guy that is not as good as the guy we last saw. I mean, he got knocked out brutally by Canelo. Let me ask you this. Would you rather be Amir Khan or Kell Brook at this point in their careers?
At this point in their careers...
You can't consider the Skype stuff, though.
So I can't moonlight on Skype.
Nope.
Oh man.
And you gotta forget about the whole I don't know my daughter's birthday and the other stff about
no
that,
just in ring things
to. Yep.
In ring considerations.
Yep.
That's a difficult one. It's really difficult. Amir Khan's chin is like a running joke in boxing, but Kell Brook has sustained some serious damage at the hands of Golovkin and Spence, and the longer he continues, the more he risks that becoming permanent damage. Amir Khan, if I have to pick one, I'd have to take Kell Brook.
You'd rather be Kell Brook at this point?
Yeah.
Wow. Okay, well, I'm going to disagree with you. I'd rather be Amir Khan.
So why is that?
Okay, so... If you're Kell Brook right now, first of all, you don't make good decisions because you didn't fight Miguel Cotto. Let's start there. Second of all, if you're Kell Brook, what do you have? What fights are there for Kell Brook other than Amir Khan?
Fair point.
he gets nothing out of fighting Liam Smith. Okay? Liam Smith.
Who the fuck is that guy?
So, I'm not down to be Kell Brook at this point in his career. I would rather be Amir Khan. Because I may get knocked out. That may be a fact. And he has been knocked out. But what is also a fact is that people tune in to watch Amir Khan fight. Nobody tunes in. Kell Brook couldn't even sell out his hometown arena. That arena, when Amir Khan goes back to fight in the UK, when he fights some Chris Van Heerden, Adrian Granados, these guys, like, that is going to be a sellout. That's going to be an event.
So his star powers, what you're going for?
Yeah. And he can parlay that into either a fight with Manny Pacquiao. He could go after the winner. Ooh, I would love if he fought Victor Ortiz, if Victor Ortiz can beat Devin Alexander. I would love that.
The shot fighter, shot welterweight bracket continues.
Ooh, Amir Khan versus Mike Alvarado.
All right.
Tell me you don't want to see that.
Amir Khan versus Alvarado?
Yeah.
Not as much as I'd want to see it versus winner of Ortiz Alexander. I'd prefer that one, but still.
Ooh, what about Ortiz versus Alvarado? Oh, these matchups are too good.
the shot welterweight bracket is filling up nicely. All right, yeah, you got good points on being Amir Khan. And with no out of ring considerations, yeah, it's probably the better choice. I just don't know. He's like his chin is a joke. And the more fights you take, the more his brain's going to get scrambled, the more my brain would be getting scrambled. So what, do I want to have dementia or do I want to be blind?
Ooh, that's, when you put it that way.
That's what I was thinking of, is even, okay, I may have poor eyesight or no eyesight, but at least I have my faculties about me.
Look, this is why people aren't watching the NFL anymore, because people bring up subjects like this. You got my, like, I don't bring up this stuff.
That was what I based my decision on, is who do I want to be in the long term? How can I cash out the best, which is fine. But as Amir Khan, you cash out so much, and then what does that money go to? Because you're not going to spend it. You're going to lose your mind.
You don't think that Amir cares about making enough money so that his family got money for generations?
Maybe he does. Nonetheless, he's not going to be able to enjoy his twilight years.
Ooh, let me ask you this question.
This is spicy shit, man. This is spicy.
Who has more potential Sky pay-per-view fights? Amir Khan or Kell Brook?
Sky pay-per-view, Amir Khan.
Yeah. So look.
He's got the star power. I'm not denying that. He has greater star power than Kell Brook does.
Who could fight on Sky pay-per-view with weaker opponents? Amir or Kell? Kelly, as Bayer likes to call him.
Is that Bayer or is that Valencia?
Whatever. They're the same thing.
Yeah. Amir Khan can get away with lesser opponents. He could probably get away with like a Granados or a Broner on pay-per-view.
Ooh, that Kell Brook can't fight Adrian Broner. He's just too big. But Amir Khan can.
Yeah, Amir Khan's prospects in the immediate and intermediate futures is better.
I would rather be
I'm not Amir denying Khan. That.
So that's who I'm picking. And all right. Now, realistically, though, before we go, I do want to talk about who do you predict his opponents are going to be?
Van Heerden was one of the whispers. Broner's one of the whispers. I don't think Broner gets made. Kell Brook is probably going to be his last one.
I got an alternate, but keep going.
I think he gets a good fight. A good cash fight versus someone in the PBC stable.
All right. Well, here's mine.
Okay? I got nothing solid. Nothing solid.
One. Next fight, Chris Van Heerden. After that, Sky Box Office, Kell Brook. Fight number three, Sky Box Office, Anthony Joshua.
I thought you said no out of ring considerations.
And no, that's in the ring.
Yeah, but that, why else would they make that fight for other than out of ring reasons?
Two of the chinniest British fighters.
Ooh, and you were giving me guff about down talking Kell Brook earlier because of the British audience, and you just called AJ chinny.
I'm just joking. It's not like the sound of
everyone turning this off.
Look, it's not. So Joshua is not chinny, by the way. Just if we're just gonna be real, okay?
You just said it.
I was joking, but okay. Joshua's not chinny. He took a right hand from Dr. Steelhammer. Like, hello. It's not like he took a right hand from the Galaxy Warrior.
And he lived to tell the tale of that right hand.
Yeah, and he got up and like Joshua was, or well, Klitschko was more hurt later in that fight than Joshua was. Okay, Joshua didn't get up looking like Amir Khan after Danny Garcia hit him with the left hook. That is not what I saw.
All right, so why do Amir Khan, why do AJ and AK get in the ring?
I don't know who you're talking about.
Anthony Joshua and Amir Khan. Why are AJ and AK going to mix it up? You said that's the third fight on Sky Box Office.
I wouldn't make that fight.
All right. So what's the third fight then?
This ain't wrestling. This ain't the WWE, baby.
We can't make a fight like that. That's a very irresponsible fight. So my options for Amir Khan. Chris Van Heerden. Kell Brook.
Kelly B.
Kelly B. Nope, not even going to go there. And I think the third one is Manny Pacquiao.
It's a nice little run.
I mean, look at Manny Pacquiao. He's gonna be 43 years old at the time. Like, if you aren't trying to make a fight with Manny Pacquiao, if he's 43 and still like, you know, looking slightly impressive, you're an idiot. If you're a guy like Amir Khan, obviously you don't want to fight him. If like you're Errol Spence, you like Errol Spence rankings will drop if he fought a Manny Pacquiao and beat him.
Yeah, Pacquiao wouldn't take that type of fight.
But that was if I was a promoter.
Hey, listen, you're not a promoter.
So, you know, that this is just podcast talk. So anyway, we are going to end it here. We actually talked way longer than I thought we would about not a lot. Here. But this is a lot more detailed about boxing, strictly boxing this time for the most part. I mean, even the non-boxing stuff was about boxing. I mean, don't you all want to hear about the death threats I get? No lie, you know, I had to change my phone number from freaking this dude, like, you know, I'm going to your house, here's your address. And I was like, well, pull up then. But that's a story for another day. I can go into more details about that. He'd never pulled up, if you want to know. So I want to thank you guys for listening. We definitely have more stuff coming in the form of videos, in the form of types of posts, things on the website, something that we just discovered this week. Facebook. We have Facebook.
We've had Facebook. We've just started using it more.
Well, we had Facebook, but now we have Facebook. Like, we use it. We like put stuff on there, and it's actually, I mean, I'm just gonna admit it, it's actually pretty awesome. Like, I still haven't figured out completely how to use it, but that's what Leo's for. He can figure that out.
Can I give a hint at something unclassified or something classified? Just a little hint.
Is it about our Skype sessions we're going to be doing with Amir Khan? No.
Kind of.
Go. Okay. Go ahead.
So some of the things that are going that we have that we're planning to do, some of them are going to be like Facebook exclusive. So you're not going to see them. We can't release it via iTunes or SoundCloud or anything like that. It's going to be Facebook exclusive.
Do we have any Pornhub exclusives?
That is, you'll have to talk to me directly about that.
I don't want to talk to you directly about that. That's just
not,
to be honest.
That's not directed to you. That's to the curious listener.
Okay. So yeah, that's actually news to me. I didn't know we were doing exclusive content on Facebook, but it makes sense. So definitely, if you don't follow us on Facebook, follow us on Facebook. We post exclusive things there. We have Twitter. We have Instagram. We post stuff on all of those things. Interact with us. Share the stuff. And definitely take some time right now, pull out your phone, go to the podcast app, search our podcast, and just hit the stars that you want to give it. Like, 5 is best. It's also cool if you retweet our stuff, but like, rate the podcast a 5. The better the rating is, the higher we will appear on the rankings. No, actually, that's not true. I don't know how the rankings work, but just give it a 5, and then we'll see what happens, and I'll let you guys know. So thanks for listening. So many big things coming up in the future, by the way. So many big things. I'm just waiting until somebody gives us free tickets so I can give them to you guys. But you're going to have to wait for that because it hasn't quite happened yet. But that's my goal this year, is give away free tickets to a fight.
Yeah, that's a good goal to have. I like it.
That's seriously my goal. I mean, it's something that I've always thought about. It's just, like, I just want to be like Santa Claus. So anyway, thanks for listening. We will be back in a few days to recap what happens after Errol Spence and Lamont Peterson fight.
Girl, you're working with some ass, eh? Your bad, eh? Make a nigga spend his cash, eh? His last, eh? Holds fire when you pass, eh? They mad, eh? You can ride in the Jag, eh? With that, eh? You can smoke a fire bag, eh? Aggressive, got money, y'all can pass, eh? And trash, eh? I'm a big time a nigga.